We'll read a text from the seventh canto, which is all about the pastimes of Prahlad and Nrsingadev. Today we'll look at chapter 7 and the first text. A translation. Narada Muni said, although Prahlad Maharaj was born in a family of asuras, he was the greatest of all devotees. Having thus been questioned by his class friends, the sons of the asuras, he remembered the words spoken to him by me and replied to his friends as follows. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. When he was in the womb of his mother, Prahlad Maharaj listened to the words of Narada Muni. One cannot imagine how the baby in embryo could hear Narada. But this is spiritual life. Progress in spiritual life cannot be obstructed by any material condition. This is called ahoituki aparityata. Reception of spiritual knowledge is never checked by any material condition. Thus Prahlad Maharaj, from his very childhood, spoke spiritual knowledge to his class friends. And certainly it was effective, although all of them were children. It's a great description of the drama we just had, this verse. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvasesha Shunyavadi Paschata Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Krupa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So our festival for Nrsingha Chaturdasi continues. And as we said, we have the Yajna next. And then the Harinam. And we'll be back in the evening, of course, again here for Abhishek at 5 o'clock, especially for children and parents, so there's no regulation there of altar clean or anything. And then we'll be serving the feast at 6 o'clock. I wanted to thank Trinada P. Prabhu and the team for organizing today. And look at the amazing decor there. To thank the Gadada Prabhu and the team of Pujaris, reminding us of Lord Nrsingadev, and what to speak of Prabhupada's altar. We have Mayapur with us already here. We don't need to go there, imagine. It's a wonderful decoration. And thank you to all of those devotees for putting that together. When Prabhupada was in hospital, devotees had come to see him, the artists, because they were making paintings for the Bhagavatam. So they brought two paintings to him. And the artist had two paintings. One was Radha Krishna, and the other painting was Nrsingadev, the classical Nrsingadev painting. So when Prabhupada was checking the paintings, he obviously instructed the artist. He said, no, more blood, more blood. And then he was speaking to the doctor who was there. And he said to the doctor, he said, in our tradition, God has many sides. Imagine this is, you know, back in the 60s. And he said, just look at this painting of Radha and Krishna. And he said, here he is a symbol of love. And then he pointed to the painting of Nrisimhadev, which must have looked very ghastly to the doctor. And he said, here he is a symbol of unlimited transcendental anger. And then he said that in our tradition, we have multifaceted personality of Godhead. The doctor was bewildered. He didn't know what was going on. But Prabhupada was still speaking in that manner, even at that time. The Bhagavatam, the seventh canto, it contains the wonderful pastimes of Lord Nrisimhadev, why he appeared, how he appeared, what were the activities that he performed, and a huge chunk of the seventh canto, 10 chapters, I was just looking, all, and just under 700 pages. 700 pages are all the pastimes of Lord Nrisimhadev. So as we're all fasting for the rest of the day, it's a good idea to try and browse through the 700 pages and get an idea. And every time you read them, there's something new, some new revelation of the Bhagavatam is always there. What is the background of this pastime? Parikshit Maharaj, he asks Sukadev Goswami that why is the Lord partial? And because he favors the demigods. And Sukadev Goswami, of course, he answers that the Lord is not partial. But he says that we, all of us, we are infected by the three modes of material nature and we see dualities. But the Lord is not partial. He's neutral. The second question that Parikshit Maharaj he asks, he said, okay, he's neutral. If you browse through the pages, he says, he's not partial, I can understand that, but why the other extreme? That even when demons deride him, Sishupal, but they still get salvation. He said, how did that happen? Can you please explain that to me? So Sukadev Goswami, he then begins to narrate, because the Bhagavatam is a narration within a narration, within a narration. So he says that Sukadev Goswami then begins to cite the conversation between Yudhishthir Maharaj and Narada Muni. And Narada Muni, he explains the same point, that this is the power of remembering Krishna. Even if somebody is so envious like Sishupal, if someone intensely remembers Krishna, then he gets salvation. This is the glory of Krishna. Isn't it in the Krishna book, when Kamsa, he was always remembering Krishna. It's described that when he was walking up the palace and he was taking the steps and he would be climbing up, he would be counting one step, two step, three. And finally, when he would get to the eighth step, he would be paranoid. Such intense remembrance of Krishna that the eighth child will kill me. Now, of course, it goes on to say this is not to encourage people to become envious. That's not really the idea. But it's to encourage our intelligence to say that by being envious of Krishna and remembering him constantly, we get salvation. What if we love him? What more we will get? So as we know, the Vedic literatures, they're compiled by Vyasadeva. So one time Vyas, he was meditating on this beautiful pastime of Nrisimhadev. And this is in a place called Varapali. So in Varapali, Vyas was performing austerities and he was writing and meditating on this pastime of Lord Nrisimhadev. Suddenly his breathing became very, very strong. Vyas's breathing. And he started breathing out hot air and taking in hot air. Immediately, Vyas, he realized that Lord Narsingadeva appeared within him here at Varahapali. And he could experience the anger that Lord Narsingadeva had when he killed Hiranyakashipu. And through that breathing of Vyas, a beautiful deity of Lord Narsingadeva appeared. And it was installed here in Varahapali. And if you go there, I've not been there. Anyone been there? If you've been there, the pujaris, they light two lamps to worship the Lord Narsingadeva. One is at the feet of Narsingadeva, and the other lamp is near his head. And in the temple, there is no circulation of air of any kind. But the lamp near the face of Lord Narsingadeva is wavering like this. He's still breathing out what Vyas was feeling at that time, that great anger. That great anger. And we saw that anger of Narsingadeva in that drama just now. So we can imagine all of these pastimes. They are there in the Vedic literatures. So Narada Muni, he's trying to explain in that conversation to Yudhishthir Maharaj about the impartiality of the Lord. And I was thinking, how do we explain that? Just recently, I was at the Clementine Churchill Hospital, sitting there. And if we look at the doctors, you know, they have, probably in a day, they see 200-300 people. And it's the duty of the doctor to treat the patients equally. But does that mean when they treat the patients equally, they give all the patients the same medication? No. He gives different medications according to the types of diseases. To some patients, he gives really bitter medication. To other patients, he gives very sweet medication. But the principle that he has, the quality that he has, is the result of curing the patients. So when different patients go to a doctor, the result is the same. The result is to get cured. So when different people, they approach the Lord may give different treatment to the different people, but the result is the same, to cure them. So Prahlad, in this pastime that we just saw, he got love and affection from the Lord. And Hiranyakashipu, he got a surgery from the Lord, but the result was the same. So in this conversation that continues, Narada Muni, in explaining to you this there, he then speaks about the fact that Yudhishthir says that why would a father torture his own son? And what are the qualities of Prahlad? And please tell me that pastime. And here, the whole pastime begins to unroll in the seventh canto of Narsingadeva, his pastimes, what he was doing, how he was going to do it, and so on. So the pastime, as we saw, it's all based on the fact that Lord Brahma, he's giving these benedictions. And you know, if we look at the Bhagavatam or the Puranas, you'll find so many different types of individuals have got benedictions from Brahma. Our theme this year is Atithi Devo Bhava, and I remember Gauri Prabhu was giving a little story of three people who approached Lord Brahma. So I looked a little deeper on who are these three people and what was the story. And it's interesting because that pastime is just like this one, whereby you have a devata, the demigods, you have an asura, and you have manusha. So three people, they approached Brahma. Devendra, who's from Deva, who's a Deva, heavenly personality. Danavendra, he's Asura or demoniac. And Manavendra, who's Manusha or human. So they all three of them, they approached Lord Brahma. And why did they approach him? Because they were contemplating what is the purpose of life. And what are the mistakes we are making in our lives? So someone from the heavens is asking that, someone from the asuras is asking that, and someone from the human plane is asking that. So they go to Brahma, who's the father of all of the entities. And, you know, you generally don't have a conversation with Brahma. He reads all the minds. So they just sat before him. And Brahma, he just read everyone's mind. And he closed his eyes. And he knew they had confusion. And he uttered one syllable. He said, duh. And then he asked them, did you understand what I was saying? All of them said, yes, I understand, and they went back. So one syllable, duh, uttered by Brahma, but all three of them had a different understanding. Devendra, from the heavens, he recognized that da meant daman. Daman means self-control. The demigods, they're enjoying too much. So, Lord Brahma's telling them, what are your mistakes and how to progress in spiritual life? He said, self-control, daman. Then, Danavendra, he interpreted the, and he interpreted it as daya, compassion. He's demoniac, asura. So he realized that we should act compassionately and that we should deal with our cruelty, our lower nature. So it's interesting, all of these different characters were there in the play just now. All the different personas. And then finally, Manavendra, Manusha. And how did he interpret da? Dana, charity. So he came to a conclusion that what he needed to do is give charity. His purpose in life was to give. This was the correction that he needed. This was the quality that he needed. So it's interesting that the Bhagavatam, when I was browsing through all of the pages, they have all of these three individuals in the pastime of Nrisimhadeva and how it's related even to our Atithi Devo Bhava. There you are. Got one from that side as well. Lord Chaitanya would hear Prahlad Maharaj's pastimes and Dhruva Maharaj's pastime hundreds of times. You know, every time Gopanim comes, Ramnami comes, or Nrisimhadeva, we think we have to hear the same thing again and again and again. Lord Chaitanya would hear these pastimes hundreds of times. And specifically, he would hear Prahlad Maharaj and Dhruva Maharaj. These were the two pastimes he would hear. And whenever he was feeling intense separation from Krishna, he would tell Gadadha Pandit, please remove this suffering. And Lord Chaitanya, whenever Gadadha Pandit would recite the pastimes of Prahlad Maharaj, Lord Chaitanya would feel his separation mitigate. And in Lord Chaitanya's Leela, of course, Nrisimhadev, he appears in many, many places. At least some I thought of was the Chan Kazi. We all remember that pastime. And Prabhupada calls it the first civil disobedience movement. when Lord Chaitanya, he arrived, the Qazi had broken the drum, and there was a conversation, but then the Chan Qazi, he reveals that last night I had a dream, and a ferocious creature, he appeared, and he said that if you stop my Sankirtan movement, then I will tear you apart. And then the Qazi opens his shirt and he says, look, here are the marks on my chest. The nails of Nrisimhadev. We also see Lord Chaitanya, again, in another pastime of Jagai and Madai. Jagai and Madai, we all remember that pastime. And when Lord Nityananda and Haridas Thakur had gone preaching door to door, Madai had thrown the pot. Because he was the mad one, Madai, mad one. So he threw the pot and it cut Lord Nityananda. So Haridas Thakur went and immediately he called for Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya was so angry that it's described that when he started running towards Jagai and Madai, and he was running through the streets of Navadvip, and everyone looked, they didn't see Lord Chaitanya anymore. But they saw another feature of Lord Chaitanya called Nrisimha Chaitanya. The top half of him was a lion. And the bottom part was Lord Chaitanya running. And he ran towards Jagai and Madai, and of course he called the Sudarshan Chakra. So this is another place that we see Lord Chaitanya and Nrisimhadev. And of course, the final place I could remember in Chaitanya Leela is the place known as Nrisimhapali. Nrisimhapali is the place where in Sati Yuga, after this pastime of killing Hiranyakashipu, Nrisimhadev, he came and he landed there. And he took some rest there. And he went to the stream, which was the Mandakini, the Ganga, and he washed his hands of all the blood. And he was resting there. And there, a self-manifest deity, of course, if you go to Nrisimhapali, you'll see of Nrisimhadev, which came out of the ground. And of course, Lord Chaitanya and his associates would all come here. Because what happened? Because Lord Nrisimhadev, he came here. All the demigods also arrived. And on the banks of the Mandakini, they built houses. And they were glorifying Lord Nrisimhadev while he was resting. So, Lord Chaitanya and his associates, they would come here, they would regularly discuss Nrisimha Katha, and they would regularly have Harinam there. How many of you have been to Nrisimhapali? Many of us have been there. If you haven't been, that's a great place, and we've built a beautiful hall there, the Bhaktivedanta Charity Trust. It's built a beautiful hall there, and you can chant there, you can see that manifest deity, you can go and take some water from the Mandakini where Nrisimhadev himself had bathed. But you can't see the houses of the demigods, they've all gone, all disappeared in due course of time. So Nrisimhadev appears, and you know the incarnations of the Lord, the Puranas describe, they're like waves on the ocean. They are innumerable. Can you count the waves in the ocean? They just keep coming and coming. So it's described in the Puranas that the number of incarnations are like that. They're unlimited. You don't know how many there are. But Jayadev Goswami, in his song, and of course, part of that song is about Nrisimhadev, Tavakara Kamala, he recognizes 10 prominent ones, which he calls the Das Avatar. And Rupa Goswami, in his book, the Laghu Bhagavatamrit, he explains that these three forms of the Lord, Krishna, Ram, and Nrisimhadev, and we have all three on the altar, he says. He says, these three forms of the Lord, he calls them Paravashta forms. He says the most important forms, Paravashta forms, they are in a supreme position, Nrisimhadev, Ram, Krishna. Why? Because they're full in all the six opulences. The six opulences that we speak about, that the personality of Godhead has, Bhagavan, one who possesses all six opulences in full. So Rupa Goswami says that these three forms have them in full. And then he goes on further to say that Lord Nrisimhadev, he exhibits the six opulences in abundance. But then he goes on to say further, but Lord Ram has more sweetness in his pastimes. And then Rupa Goswami concludes, but Krishna, he has unlimited sweetness, and hence he's incomparable. So that's a good understanding of these items. Rupa Goswami, in the same book, Laghu Bhagavatamrita, he speaks about Nrisimhadev, and he says when he appeared, and he says that Nrisimhadev, he appeared at the Sandhya of Satya and Treta Yuga, at the Sandhya. And he says that he appeared in the period of the sixth Manu, just before the churning of the ocean of milk. So this is the time that Lord Nrisimhadev appeared. The Sandhya of Satya and Treta, in the period of the sixth Manu, just before the churning of the ocean of milk. That's when Lord Nrisimhadev, he appears. So Rupa Goswami, he gives us that information as well. Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his teachings, he also speaks about these three forms, and he says that these three forms were worshipped by Lord Chaitanya, Krishna, Ram, and Nrisimha. Not only did Lord Chaitanya worship these three forms, but he went to the places of pilgrimage of these three personalities. Anything in connection with these three personalities, he would go to those temples. And specifically in connection with Nrisimhadev, Lord Chaitanya visited three places in Andhra Pradesh. Anyone from Andhra Pradesh here? Anyone? Anyone been to Andhra Pradesh? Very good. So Lord Chaitanya went to three places: Simhachalam, Mangalagiri, and Ahovalam. These are the three places that Lord Chaitanya visits. And what are these places? Simhachalam. Simhachalam is also known as Jiyad Nrisimha. And Lord Chaitanya had gone to take darshan of the famous deity there. Anyone remember the name of that deity? Varaha Nrisimha. Prahlad Maharaj had gone to the place where he was dropped from the top of the cliff before he hit the bottom of the ocean. And it's interesting in that pastime, of course, that he was fully dependent on the Lord. And the Lord could have caught him at the top, or in the middle, or somewhere a little below. But the Lord caught him just before he hit the bottom. And you know, that's the Supreme Lord. He waits until the right moment, when you become fully dependent on him, and then he catches you. So Prahlad wanted to see this place. And whilst he was there, he had a desire. He said, Lord Nrisimhadev, you killed my father, but you also killed my uncle. I want to see you in a form that's both Varaha, who killed my uncle, and Nrisimha. So of course Nrisimhadev, he granted him anything. So he appeared there. He appears there as Varaha Nrisimha. It's a big shalagram. And can you imagine how ferocious Nrisimhadev was? Imagine when he combines himself with Varahadev. How ferocious that form must be. So what happens in Simhachalam is that only on one day you can see this deity. And that's on Akshaya Tritiya. The rest of the year, they keep putting chandan on him because he's so hot, so ferocious that they have to cool him down. So whenever you go, he's like a mountain of sandalwood. You can't see the deity. You just see a huge mountain of sandalwood. And Akshaya Tritiya, they take the sandalwood off and you can see the deity. So this is one place that Lord Chaitanya, he went to see. The other place he went to was Mangalagiri. And again, the deity there is of Pana Nrisingha. Pana Nrisingha. And what is there in Mangalagiri? There was a demon, and the demons come at different times. So again, another demon, and his name was Namochi. So Namochi, just like Hiranyakashipu, he wanted to become immortal. But you know, Hiranyakashipu, he was just standing on one leg. Namochi, his austerities went to the next level. He took a pin and he put it on the ground. He took one mustard seed and he put it at the top of the pin. And he stood on one toe on top of that mustard seed for 1,000 celestial years. Of course, the amazing things you can go to, you know, extent to become immortal. The difference between demons and devotees are that the devotees know you become immortal by having a spiritual body. And the demons are thinking, we want to become immortal in this material body. So you can never do it. So anyway, Namochi, finally, he asked for all his benedictions, and his benediction was different. And you remember what he said? Many things, but he said, I should not be killed by anything wet or anything dry. So, you know, Lord Brahma gives all of these benedictions and Vishnu has to figure out, now what am I going to do now? He's given another one now. So then, of course, Nrisingadevi appears. Namochi is terrorizing the universes. He takes over the heavens. Same episode keeps happening. They take over everything. Bali comes. He takes over the universe. It keeps repeating itself. So when finally Lord Nrisingadeva, he came, as Nrisingadeva was flying across the ocean, he took his Sudarshan Chakra and he soaked it in the foam, because foam is neither dry nor wet. And this is the way he killed Namochi. So you can go there. Pana Nrisingha, and they have Panakam, I think Panakam. This is the Mahaprasad. It's a big Shila, and you, whatever item you bring, if you pour it into the mouth of the Shila, it takes exactly half, I think. And then the pujaris can hear, gud, 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 gud. It's full now. And they tell you to stop. And if you look at your container, it's half. Half at that time. So Panakam. So in Satya Yuga, the deity at that place of Nrisingadeva said, I want nectar every day. But as the yugas went on, Treta Yuga, he said, I want ghee. In Dwarpa Yuga, he had honey. But in Kali Yuga, there is no nectar. So he said, Panakam, water mixed with jaggery, and that's what they offer him. So you can go there as well. And finally, the last place that Lord Chaitanya went to is Ahobilam. Ahobilam. And Garuda wanted to see Lord Nrisingadeva as well. He wanted to see the Lord. So he performed great austerities in a cave. And after great, great austerities, Lord Nrisingadeva appeared before him in what are known as the nine forms of Nrisingadeva. And that place where he was meditating was a cave, Bilam. So Garuda, when he saw Nrisingadeva, he said, Aho, Bilam, Aho, amazing, in the cave Lord has appeared. So that place became known as Aho Bilam. So these are Lord Chaitanya, he goes to these places of Nrisingadeva. The Bhagavatam, it speaks about that, why does the Lord appear? And in the famous verse, 7:8:17, anyone remember that one? Satyam vidhatu nija brittya bhasitam. Then why does the Lord appear? satyam vidhatu, to make the words true of his devotees. He's a brityabhasitam. So there are, if I was browsing through the pastimes, and there are many, many personalities that the Lord had to make their words true. You can always come out with more if you look at it. So the obvious ones were Prahlad Maharaj. Why? Because he said, when Hiranyakashipu said, "Is your Lord in this pillar?" He said, "My Lord is in that pillar." So Nrisimhadev could have come from anywhere. Satyam vidhatu. But because he said he is in there, to make his words true, he appeared from there. Then, of course, we have the four Kumaras, and the Chatus Kumaras. And we know the pastime that, you know, they wanted to come into Vaikuntha, but they weren't let in by Jayan Vijay. So they cursed them that either you become demons 3 times or devotees 10 times. So they chose to be demons. So that has to come true. Then, of course, Brahma. Lord Brahma, we know of his benedictions. So he gave all of these benedictions. So to make Satyam Vidhatu, to make his words true. And then, of course, Jayan Vijay. The Puranas describe that Lord Narayan, he was walking past, and the two superintendents were talking to each other, and they said, "Wouldn't it be amazing when we have a fight?" Because the guards of Vaikuntha, they like to fight. They wrestle. So they said, "Wouldn't it be amazing if we could wrestle with the Lord?" Satyam vidhatu. So he thought, "Well, how am I going to make this come true?" So the whole pastime is based on that. And even Hiranyakashipu, in one of the texts I was browsing through, he speaks out Prahlad Maharaj, how Prahlad has become like gangrene. And like gangrene, he must be cut off because it will contaminate the whole body. Otherwise, he will kill me. So, of course, Hiranyakashipu is Jayan Vijay again. So the words of Hiranyakashipu, that he'll kill me. So he's a devotee in one sense as well. And then, of course, Narada Muni. Narada Muni, as we saw in that little drama. And the demigods tried to kill him. And Narada Muni said, "You can't kill him. You can't kill him." So to make that true, that no one can kill him, he said, because he's a pure devotee. Prabhupada would often say that the son of a Brahmin is not always a Brahmin, and the son of a demon is not always a demon. It doesn't matter how powerful you are, this pastime reminds us that there's always someone out there more powerful than you. You know, especially for those of us with children, isn't it? It's an important message. Whatever we may be in our lives, when we go home, our children will always teach us humility. Isn't it? They'll always teach us some humility. I'd gone to one Sangha program, and the gentleman said, "Can you preach to my son? Standard line. Can you preach to him? Because he's not listening to us anymore." I said, "Well, you know what? My son doesn't listen to me either." So I went to the son's room, and there was on his wall, you know, they always have posters of different things. But he had one interesting statement there. And it didn't say who it was from, but it said, "By the time we realize that our parents were right, we have children who think we are wrong." And I thought, that was me. By the time we realize that our parents were right, we have children who think we are wrong. Narada Muni. And finally, the last person, Satyam Vidhatu Nija Britya Basitam, is the person who is giving us the purports, the Bhaktivedanta purports in the Bhagavatam, in the story of Nrisimhadev. Satyam Vidhatu Nija Britya Basitam. And what has he said? That if you chant 16 rounds, if you follow the four regulative principles, If you assist the Sankirtan movement, you will go back home, back to Godhead. So Krishna will have to come to make the words of Prabhupada true at the end of this life. But we have to follow what he is saying equally. Equally. Satyam vidatu nija britya bhasitam. In 1969, when Srila Prabhupada was in America, in Los Angeles, just before Mangalarti, someone who was passing by threw a pipe bomb into the temple. And the bomb exploded and it shattered all the glass. Luckily, most of the devotees had gone already to San Francisco for the Rath Yatra. Prabhupada, he came down. Later on, the police were called. No one was injured in that way. But Prabhupada came down that morning and he chanted for the first time the Nrisimha Arati that we sing every morning. And he chanted the Tavakara Kamalavare. And Prabhupada at that time, he told the devotees to write these down. And Prabhupada made four observations at that time, in 1969. And the first thing he said was that ISKCON is growing. First thing he said. Now that was interesting. At that time, there were only three temples. And Prabhupada said, ISKCON is now growing. You know, now we have 700 temples. Second thing Prabhupada said was that, as ISKCON is growing, the envious propensity of the demons is also growing. Third thing he said, that as ISKCON will grow further, Krishna consciousness will spread far and wide. The attacks of the demons will increase more and more and more. And the fourth thing he said, we have to be fearless in practicing Krishna consciousness. If the preaching mission has to expand without stopping, then the devotees in the Krishna consciousness movement must chant the Nrisimhadev pranams. So that's interesting how the prayers came into being, and four things that Prabhupada had said at that time. Then, of course, a few weeks later, Prabhupada was ill and he was taken to hospital. And he was in a bad condition. And he told his disciples that it's bona fide, because the disciples fully didn't know what to do or say. So he said it's bona fide for a disciple to pray for the protection of the spiritual master by praying to the lotus feet of Lord Nrisimhadev. And he said, you can ask that my spiritual master has not yet finished his task. So please protect him. So you know, all of us as devotees, we can pray to Lord Nrisimhadev to remove the obstacles, bhakti vigna vinashanam, and also remove the temptations from our lives. There is a scripture which is called the Vihajendra Samhita. And there it states that there are 74 forms of Nrisimhadev. And they're distinguished by how they hold the weapons in their hands, the different postures that they have, and there are subtle distinctions there as well. And of the 74, the Samhita mentions that 9 are called Nava Vyuha Nrisimha. And these are the 9 that you find in Ahobilam. The 9 forms of Nrisimhadev. And they are Ugra Nrisimha, Krodha Nrisimha, Viraha Nrisimha, Vilamba Nrisimha, Kopa Narasingha, Yoga Narasingha, Aghora Narasingha, Sudarshan Narasingha, and finally Lakshmi Narasimha. Just by hearing those nine names, it said all your worries and anxiety will disappear. Benediction that's given. So I thought I'd chant those nine names. And then it goes on to speak about the eight-handed form of Lord Narasingha-dev. And that's interesting because generally in Karmakanda section of the Vedas, people will worship Ganesh to remove the obstacles on their path. Before every ceremony, Ganesh is worshipped. But of course, our understanding is that the strength and the power of Ganesh is coming. Why? Because he is situated at the lotus feet of Narasingha-dev. That's how he's getting his power. The Puranas described how Narasingha-dev became very pleased with him and he gave him that power. When no one could approach Narasingha-dev, when he was so angry, the demigods didn't send Prahlad first. They pushed Ganesh first. And Ganesh, he's a young boy, so he's very enthusiastic. So he got on his rat and he started running towards Narasingha-dev with his rat. But Narasingha-dev is breathing anger. And his breath was so strong that Ganesh, he fell off the rat as he was running towards him. And Narasingha-dev became pleased because that made him laugh. Started to laugh. And the demigods were laughing. And then they stop as soon as Narasingha-dev roared again. So anyway, he gets this power to remove obstacles. But we know that we... when we perform our ceremonies, Ganesh is none other than that personality who receives his power from Narasingha-dev. So this eight-faced form of Narasingha-dev, the eight faces are as follows. It has the face of Garuda. And what does Garuda do? He protects health and prevents poisoning. He has the face of Varaha, who protects from black magic. He has the face of Hanuman, who protects one from evil forces and retrieves lost objects. He has the face of Baluka, or the bear, to overcome the fear of darkness. He has the face of Hayagriva, or the horse, to help us to acquire wisdom. He has the face of Vyagra, or the tiger, to cure us of diseases and protect us in battle. And he has the seventh face, Gandapiranda, which is like a two-headed bird, to create peace within our mind. And finally, he has the face of Narasimha, who gives liberation and he gives devotion. So that's interesting that this eight-faced Narasingha-dev is there. But Narasingha-dev himself, the face of Narasingha-dev, he awards bhakti or devotion. That he is the original source of everything. So that's an interesting eight faces of Narasingha-dev. Tamil Krishna Maharaj, he tells a wonderful story. That when Prabhupada was not well in his final days, and they had a vaidya, a new vaidya had come to treat Prabhupada, and he told Prabhupada, this man, he wants to treat you for free, he has read your books, and he thinks you are an incarnation of Vyasadeva Prabhupada. And he'll get you well, and you will go to Mayapur as well. And then Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, Prabhupada, he told me a wonderful story. He said his father is a great Vaishnava and he's a staunch devotee of Narasingha-dev. And 12 of them, they went on a pilgrimage to Badrik Ashram. And whilst they were on pilgrimage, they were attacked by the bills. The bills and Bhavananda, who was there, he interrupted, and Prabhupada, bills, that means the aboriginal tribes. And Prabhupada said, yes, I know, I am from India. So these bills attack them. Only two bills, but they're ferocious. And they said to the 12 men, give us all your wealth. And the 12 men said, we will give you the wealth, but don't kill us. And the bill said, we enjoy to kill. So not only will we take your wealth, but we will kill you. So the father of this man, of this Ayurved, said, please, even a king he will give clemency. Let us pray for 5 minutes. So the 12 men were all devotees, staunch devotees of Nrisimhadev. They all started to pray. So this is a true story. They're telling Prabhupada this story. And they said, as they were praying, a huge lion leapt out of the forest. And he pounced on these two bills and he tore them apart. And the 12 men who were paying their obeisances all got up and they paid their prostrated obeisances to the lion. Nrisimhadeva Bhagavan ki. So then, of course, they carried on and the conversation, and Prabhupada listened very carefully to this amazing story. Hiranyakashipu, he had demanded so many benedictions. And you know, the first thing he said was what? I want to be immortal. So Brahma said, look, I can't do that because I'm not immortal. But you know, when lawyers, anyone lawyers here? You know, when lawyers hear something and they said, you can't have this, what do? They try to bend the law. They try to bend the law because they said, this is not legal. So how do you do it? Well, you have to bend the law now. So Hiranyakashipu was like that. He said, nah, I can't have this. It's not legal. I'll bend it now. So he thought of all of these things. And of course, as we saw just now, that Nrisimhadev, he stretched Hiranyakashipu on his lap. And with his long nails, he rips him apart. He was neither on the land, sea, or the air, but on the lap of the Supreme Lord. He was neither killed during the day or the night, but at twilight. He was not killed with no weapons, but with the nails of Lord Nrisimhadev. So it doesn't matter what plan you have, the Lord always has a better plan. There is a temple in Karnataka. Anyone from Karnataka here? Karnataka, yes. Agripili. Agripili. So this is a town called Agripili. And there was a Brahmin in Agripili. This is going back 500 years. So he saw a tiger coming out of the forest. And he followed the tiger, and the tiger went into a cave. And when he went into the cave, the tiger had become a deity of Lord Nrisimhadev. So he said, wow, this is amazing. The Lord has come to me. So he worshipped that form. And he named that Vyagra Nrisimha, tiger. He called him that. So, as you know, the line carries on. So his name was Shobhanacharya. So Shobhanacharya, 400 years back, he wanted to build a big temple for Nrisimhadev, for this Vyagra Nrisimha. So he went to the Nawab of Hyderabad. So this is in the history books of Karnataka. And he said, why don't you give me a big donation? Because I want to build a big temple for Nrisimhadev here. So can you imagine the Nawab being asked for a big donation? But he's the ruler. So the Nawab said, who is this Nrisimhadev? I don't believe in him. No one has seen him. Give me some proof. So Shobhanacharya, he took some pure ghee. And he took some sugar and he mixed it. And he made it into a sweet. And then Shobhanacharya started reciting the different names of Nrisimhadev. Especially the names that they chant in that temple in Agripili. And the court was full. The Nawab of Hyderabad was there. The ministers were there. The citizens were there. It's a huge courtroom. And out of nowhere, out of the blue, a huge tiger appeared in the courtyard. into the palace. And he came up to Shobhanacharya and he started licking his hand and eating that butter and that sweet that he had made. So the Nawab froze. Everybody froze. Because the tiger, they'd never seen a tiger that big. So the Nawab immediately, he said, I will give the donation. He said, a regular tiger, if he had come here, he wouldn't be eating that butter. He would be eating your hand. But this tiger was only interested in that butter. So then, of course, he gives an endowment. And he gives the entire village of Agripilli in the name of Vyagra Nasingha. And all the rent from that village would maintain that temple. And that's how all the temples in India are maintained. They'd have an endowment of a property and or lands or whatever. And all of that would maintain that personality. In the Bhagavatam, we see that Krishna, he comes in every situation in our life. So Parikshit Maharaj, who's the conversation he's having with Sukadev Goswami here, he speaks later on that I have seen the Lord as Krishna Roop. I have seen the Lord as Narasimha Roop. I have even seen the Lord as Varaha Roop. But today, he says, I have seen the Lord in a beautiful form, in a different form. Dvija Sapa Rupam. That I have seen you in the form of the curse of a Brahmin. So although the Lord may appear in Agripilli, but he may appear to us differently. And Prahlad is saying, Parikshit is saying, that he came in that form. Prahlad Maharaj had wonderful qualities. And we read of how he had three brothers. Prahlad had three brothers. Anulad, Samlad, and Lad. I don't know what these names mean. I didn't give them. It was Hiranyakashipu. He was giving those names. I don't know. But Prahlad means, at least one meaning, is one who is perfectly happy. So it's given that Lad, one of the sons of Hiranyakashipu, his son was Sunda, and Sunda's wife was Tadaka, the first demoness that Lord Ram he kills. So in this way, all the demons, they go on for generations from yuga to yuga. They keep coming and coming. So Prahlad Maharaj had so many wonderful qualities, but as Kapila Muni himself speaks about these wonderful qualities, Titikshava Karunika Suridat Sarvadehinam Ajata Shatru Shanta Shadu Bhushanam. These wonderful qualities. But I thought I would just look at three simple qualities. Our time is running. And we're going to have the yagya. So, three wonderful qualities he had. The first is humility. And you could see that in the drama, wasn't it? Prahlad had such humility there. And you know, humility, if you have a banana, I was just giving a talk the other day about humility, and I thought of this. Example, if you have a sweet banana, it's protected by the cover. The quality of sweetness is protected by the skin. In the same way, a devotee's sweet devotion is covered by his humility, which is that skin. Without the skin, the banana will rot within a few hours, isn't it? So as soon as humility is lost, one's devotion will also be lost. Therefore, Mahaprabhu, greatly he speaks about this, Trinarapi Sunichena. So one quality of humility. The other one was his firm faith. Great conviction, can you imagine? What conviction he had. And the life of a devotee is this firm faith. Just like if you look at tall buildings, what you don't see is the foundation. And the foundation is what it stands on. So a devotee's foundation is firm faith. Then you can grow and grow and grow. If you're just growing, but you don't have that foundation, you may fall any time. And the higher you go, the more likely you'll topple over. So you have to build on that foundation. And that foundation, Prahlad had firm faith. Firm faith. And thirdly, compassion. Generally, we have passion, material desires, and Prahlad had compassion. Even as we saw in the drama, he said, deliver my father. And of course, Prabhupada, he speaks about what to speak of your father. 14 generations of your family, they'll be delivered. Prahlad Maharaj, in his previous life, Jayaprataka Swami speaks of this. He was born in a family who were not Krishna conscious. And he had fallen in love with a young lady, and this was not allowed. So the whole scenario was there. So he wanted to meet her, and they had agreed to meet in the forest. So Prahlad, in his previous life, he went to this place, and there he found an old temple. So he thought, well, I'm going to meet my beloved here, so I better clean it up. So he spent the entire day cleaning that place. And then he waited, and she didn't come. He waited all night, and he said, I will not eat until she comes. She didn't come. He waited all night, and he waited till the following morning. He hadn't ate, he didn't drink. He'd cleaned the whole place, and that was the day of Narsingha Chaturdasi. And in the morning, he died. And it said that because he had done this in the next life, he had the facility to become one of the close associates of the Lord. This was the greatness of Purva Janma, what we do in previous life. Another quality that Prahlad had was determination. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he gives a good definition of determination. And he says that even if the Lord appears before you and tells you, don't chant, don't follow the principles, you will not agree with him. He said that's the definition of determination. It's a very strong definition as well. Once Sri Vaishnava, he was tested like this. As he was traveling, once he stopped, it was raining very heavily. It was the period of the monsoon. So he went into a shed to take some shelter. And he was a great devotee of Lord Nrisingadev. And then all of a sudden, he shouted out, Nrisingadev! He said, what am I doing here? Because the shed was a slaughterhouse. And he'd taken shelter in the rain in a slaughterhouse. And what even bewildered him further was that they were selling the meat and they have scales. You know, in India, the scales are stones. They have stone on one side and the fruits are vegetable, and in this case, the meat on the other side. And when he looked, the man who was serving and cutting the meat on the scales, the stone was a Nrisingha Sila. So he became so aggrieved, he said, my God, Nrisingadev is here. So he preached to the man, and the man said, well, it's just a stone, you can have it. We'll get another stone. Not to worry. So he takes this stone home. It's a Nrisingha Sila. He has bathing for it, a ceremony, and he begins to worship that deity. But then he has a dream one night. And the Nrisingadev Sheila says to him, take me back to that slaughterhouse. I want to stay there. And this Brahman, he said, no, I'll never take you there. And Nrisimhadeva accuses him. He says, you Brahmins, you're the reason. You're the ones that put me in that slaughterhouse. Now, I don't want to be in your custody. Put me back there. So he said, I will never put you there. So he says, if you don't put me there tomorrow, your house and all your fields, they will burn to ashes. So he said, I'll never do it. The next day, there was a huge fire. His house was burned. The crops were burned. Again, then he has a dream. Take me immediately to that slaughterhouse. And he says, I will never take you. He says, then tomorrow your wife and your family, they will all die. He says, I will never take you back. That's my dharma. And the next day, of course, his family, they all die. And then finally Nrisimhadev, he comes, then he says, if you don't take me back tomorrow, you will die. And he says, I will never take you back. And the next day he's extremely sick and he's about to die. And he tells his disciples, he said, give me that Nrisimha Shila. And he puts it on his chest and he says, when I die, I want you to cremate me with this Nrisimha Shila. Never allow it to go to the slaughterhouse. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he gives that definition that even if the Lord comes to you and tells you, don't chant, determination means you'll not do it. So imagine the determination of this Sri Vaishnava. Of course, immediately the next day, he gets better. And Nrisimhadev comes to him, and Nrisimhadev says to him, you have passed the test. Ah, what a test. I wish I never get such a test myself. Not a test that we would want. Prahlad Maharaj, he surrenders to Nrisimhadev as we sing every morning. Nishim Amadim Sharanam Prapadye. Lord Nrisimhadev, I surrender unto you. So Jadvaita Swami, when he was arguing with Prabhupada, and he said that Nrisimhadev appeared a Hobilam, and Prabhupada, because they were doing a BBT publication, and Prabhupada said, it does not matter where he appeared. What matters is, are you surrendered to him? Narasimhamadim Sharanam Prapadye. But of course, finally, they said to Prabhupada, but no, there is a controversy, Prabhupada. Should we print this? And Prabhupada said, oh, controversy. No, don't print. Don't print. But he said, that does not matter where he appeared. Nrisimhadev can appear from anywhere. But what's required is surrender. And ending in this class on this principle of sharanam, surrender, sharanagati. There are four things in sharanagati. And these are nicely shown by, in the Ramayana. When Vibhishan, he comes to surrender to Lord Ram, he comes with four yakshas. And these four yakshas, they represent the four items of surrender. And two of the qualities are required by the devotee. And two of the qualities are qualities of the Lord. So the first quality that you require for surrender is akinchana atvam, which means your principle that I possess nothing. And Vibhishan, when he came, one of the yakshas, he represented this, akinchana, I possess nothing. And the second thing that you need for sharanagati is ananya gatitvam. And the Lord is the only shelter. The Lord is the only shelter. So two things, akinchana atvam, I have nothing, and ananya gatitam, that the Lord is my only shelter. There is no other shelter. And then the two other qualities which the Lord possesses. Sharalata, which means simplicity. And secondly, Shakti. And these were the two other yakshas. And these are the qualities of the Lord. Supremely powerful. And we see that in this pastime of Lord Nrisimhadev. That when you combine these two items, two from us, I have nothing, Akinchana. The Lord is my only shelter, Ananya Gadvitam. And then we combine that with the Lord's principle, Sharalata. Lord Nrisimhadev was so simple. No childhood pastimes, nothing. You don't hear any of that, like in any leela. Immediately appears, then any disappears. Very simple. But Shakti, supremely powerful. So the Lord can come in that way. So when these two combine, then that's Sharanagati. Therefore, Vibhishan, he says that I'm standing in front of you, my dear Lord. Quickly give me shelter. Why quickly? Because our mind keeps changing. So whatever thoughts of Sharan has come now, if we don't act on that spark might die. We cannot postpone our desire of Sharanagati, of surrender. So I thought that's an interesting principle today to look at, even today. And the Lord's hands are compared Tavakara Kamalavare. His nails are coming out. But imagine the nails of a lion. But the Bhagavatam, it describes that the hands of Nrisimhadev have the power to award fearlessness from the influence of time. Imagine that. It has that power to give us that. So on this most auspicious occasion of Nrisimha Chaturdasi, we can pray to Lord Nrisimhadev that Narasim Amadim Sharanam Parapadhyay, please give me shelter on this occasion. And we chant this for the protection of the Vaishnavas, the devotees. We chant this for the protection of the spiritual master. We chant this for the protection of the society as well. So these are just some reflections on today of Nrisimha Chaturdasi. I want to thank all the Vaishnavas, especially all the disciples of Srila Prabhupada that are here. It's the senior Vaishnavas that are here. I had to tolerate, hear me speak a few words. But thank you very much. Time is up, isn't it? Any comments? No comments. Anyone want to make any comments?